This episode of TG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Friday, February 10th, 2017. I'm your host, Daniel Green, otherwise known as The Judge. You made it to the weekend. A lovely nine-game slate on tap. It's been a Magic Mountain-type week in terms of number of games, small slates, large slates. But nine games, that's about the perfect number of games. I prefer eight as my magic number that I like the most, but nine is pretty good. Enough games where you can easily differentiate lineups in tournaments, and you also can play a lovely amount of cash games as well. Before we start the show, please rate, review, and subscribe. Remember, it's very helpful to the judge if you can do that. Only takes a few seconds. Also, when I tweet out the show across the world, you retweet it. Your initial inclination will be to hit that like button, but you will say to yourself, no, the judge has been very kind to me, and he has asked me to hit an RT instead of a like, and I shall oblige him. Remember, an RT, when I tweet out the show, that'd be much appreciated. Also, as I was talking about earlier, kind of this, I guess the whole week, that I did join the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. So, what does that mean? That means we have a podcast for every team in the NBA. If there's a team that you want me to bring on the show to discuss, let me know. I'm not going to do it just to do it, so you know, I'm really going to let you guys guide me. If there's a team that's frustrating you, making you throw your gavel at the TV, throwing your remote at the TV, making you bang your head against the TV, I made a list. There's eight of those teams for me that have cost me the most money this year and cost me the most money in not only in DFS, but in terms of alcohol and other things, new remote controls, new gavels. This is my second gavel. I'm on my second gavel of the year, by the way. One time I just banged it too hard against the computer. When I was closing the show, when I say, you know, court is adjourned. So if there's a team that you want to hear about, let me know. So far, I haven't gotten a ton of feedback from you guys, but I've gotten a decent amount. And the Pistons are so far the leader in the clubhouse. I don't know if I mentioned, but if you want to reach out to me, tweet at me at DanielAGreen1 or go to the website dgcourtroomdfs.com. And email me there. We are working on kind of updating the website behind the scenes, and took a look earlier today at the person who's helping me with, and it's coming along pretty nicely. Hopefully around All-Star break or right around that time, which is coming up fast, which is, I think, what, a week or 2 weeks away. So hopefully we can get that up and running, and that will be another way that we can interact with each other. Also, if you would like a consultation with the judge, as you guys know, I don't know how long I continue to do this right now. I mean, this is I almost didn't have a show for you guys for Friday. Right now, it's 5:05 a.m. in the morning. I slept from like 1 a.m. to about 4, so I'm gonna have to go to work, and I'm not gonna have time to go to bed after the show, I don't think. So this is gonna be a brutal day for me. But I said I cannot let you down. We have 6, 7, 8,000 listeners, depending on the day. The judge shall come through. So I'm not sure how good of a show this will be, though, because let's be honest, I am beat tired. I'm beat down. I am tired. It's a long week. It's a fun week, but I'm here. So if you'd like a consultation with me, though, to go over more macro level problems that you're having, and let's be honest, DFS, it's hard, and it's only getting harder, especially when you have these other – there's so much information out there that's just horrendous, crappy, disgusting, shameful, quite honestly. Then you got other podcasts out there. They lead you in all the wrong directions. They're basically throwing you in the trap doors, throwing you into garbage cans. So the judge can kind of help kind of get rid of all the noise and hopefully help you make this is what happens when you do a show this late, man. I feel like I'm like half drunk. But hopefully I can help you to see DFS in a new way and to kind of get rid of all that noise. So if you do want a consultation, remember, we'll talk about roster construction, what contest to enter, my favorite research techniques, tracking and analyzing data, strategy, cash game, single entry versus GPPs. Something we'll touch on the show today is going to be how to kind of handle the last hour before lineup lock, because that's a huge deal in NBA DFS. NBA DFS, to me, it's the most fun, but also it's the most difficult. And a lot of the reason is because you have that final hour when we're getting just crazy news. I mean, it seems like every day we get some news that just shakes up the entire slate. And you have to be ready and equipped to deal with that. And if you're not, it's going to be very hard to win in NBA DFS, especially the second half of the season when you have so many teams who are going to make up so many injuries. Teams are going to be tanking. Players are going to be resting. And a lot of that news you're going to find out in that final hour. And you have to be ready to pivot off of players, and you got to do it fast. So we'll get it. We'll talk a little bit about that today. But if you want a consultation, reach out to me, because I'm feeling after the All-Star break, I may just say no more. Please download the app Draft. When you do, use the promo code DFBPOD. If you cannot find out where to put the promo code, just let me know. Tweet at me on Twitter or go to the website. And remember, when you do, let me know what your username is on the Lovely Draft app. We have judges chambers up there, which there's 128 spots. It filled up gloriously. It was a $10 entry fee. It takes place for 7 days, a 7-day battle to the death. And the round of 32 takes place on Friday. So if you're still in that, congrats to you, first of all. And secondly, let me know so I can give you some props on the show. Because there's a lot of times, I think there's some people, because that's not a private event. Like for FanDuel chambers and DraftKings chambers, I do tweet out the links privately. But the judges chambers on the app Draft, it's public. So I think this is our third or fourth one. And I'm pretty sure at least one of the times it was someone who doesn't even follow the judge who took down the chambers on Draft, which was annoying. This time we must not let that happen. So if you're in there, let me know. Remember, if you want to support the show, if you want me to do more shows and not just go into hibernation, or maybe a sneaky move by the judge may just be to turn pro himself from DFS so I can max enter all these tournaments and devote more of my time to that. If you want me to stick around, then what you should do is support the show, support the sponsor. Obviously, it makes a big difference. Also, you may have noticed I tweeted out, is it a week now? Like, we do have shirts. My favorite is like there's a notebook with like a DG Courtroom notebook. There's a coffee mug, or let's face it, if you're watching DFS, put some Johnny Walker Black, whatever, Macallan. For me, it's for me lately, I'm a whiskey man. So lately, I've been drinking a lot of Macallan 12, putting that in my DG Courtroom mug. But we do have shirts, notebooks, mugs, and all that stuff. That are, you know, DG Courtroom. Basically the DG Courtroom logo's on there. And I'm currently working on getting shirts with Dream Killer, with Tin Man. Obviously AD will be on the, Anthony Davis will be on the Tin Man one. Dream Lovers, Magic Mountain. So we're in the process of doing all that stuff. And, you know, I think going forward, you know, we're starting a little army here, a DG Courtroom army. And again, just doing things like that, buying, you know, shirts, notebooks, mugs, again, it's just another way for you guys to support the show. And it means a lot. And ultimately, if you can do things like that, it will help sustain the show, and there will be more shows. And I keep saying that. And the reason I keep saying that is because it's true. I'll try to tweet out the link to the shirts and all that again tomorrow. And if I forget, you can always just ask me, and I will gladly tweet it out for you. As you guys know from this week, you have learned a legal term. I hope you've been impressing your lady friends or your fellow friends or whoever you want to impress, your parents, your kids, your grandkids. So I did a consult with someone who's a grandfather, which was pretty exciting. He's still playing DFS. He was like 72 years old and still playing and dominating DFS. It was awesome. He's a really, really cool guy. He had 8 grandkids. It was a really fun phone call, really fun consultation to do. But what did I teach you about an affirmative duty? You must don't make your friends suffer. Don't make them listen to the garbage that's out there. I mean, also, I need to think of a new name for Roto Grinders. I mean, it could be like sleepy grinders or roto trash. I'm not sure what we should call them. Obviously, put a hashtag before it. But it's just every day, man, some of the plays they're recommending, some of their contests that they're recommending that the regular players should go into, the people that they hire, just hiring people who have made live finals who don't know anything about basketball, who are letting, I mean, what they want, if, you know, who they should hire, just hire the computer. Don't hire the guy who made the live final. Why don't you hire the computer? Yeah, and have the computer host a show. That's who's doing it. The computer's building scripts. The computer's spitting out lineups. So why don't you, yeah, that's, I think that's what they should do. And actually, I wouldn't be surprised. If their next, if Roto Trash, Sleepy Grinders, if their next hire is a computer, that would make sense to me. Because what they're doing, they're not hiring people who can give you, who can give the regular player advice. They're hiring people who have done well in DFS. And that doesn't correspond, doesn't correlate to people who know what the hell they're talking about to the regular player. They're just out of touch with giving advice to people like most of us who are playing, what, 5 lineups a night, 10 lineups a night between, you know, what, $10 and $20. So it's just, it's mind-boggling to me. So use your affirmative duty. Get your friends off the other trash that's out there. Canning out misleading information, shameful, disgusting information. Bring them to the judge, and together we will take over the DFS world. And if you haven't noticed in the last few weeks or so, the people who've been listening to the show, who've been following me, and it's not, and I don't think I deserve a lot of the credits. Most of you guys who deserve most of the credit, but. People who've been listening to the show have been dominating DFS. We have monstrous results. I think in the last week alone, I've heard from about 25 to 30 people who have made over a grand on any given night. So every night we're having people win lots of money. And ultimately that's what we're trying to do here, as well as have fun. Money and fun. Can't beat those two things. All right. So for Chambers on Thursday, and what is Chambers, you may ask, and I will respond to you. It is just tournaments that we're running on FanDuel and DraftKings where we have the greatest players in the DFS universe come to compete. And we have a power rankings that I try to update once a week. We have a best of the best tournament where the top players in the power rankings compete every week. And if you have been trying to get in, because it does fill up fast, you can tweet at me to try to ask for a spot. And I'm pretty good about hooking you up. If I can't get you in for that particular night, I will hopefully be able to get you in on the next night. And if you've been listening to me and you haven't entered Chambers yet, it's time. Let us see your training. You have been trained by the judge for now what? November, December, January, over 3 months. You are ready, my friends, to enter Chambers. Test yourself against the best and see how you do. So Chambers for Thursday. WTBA, who I think is the 6th-ranked player right now in on FanDuel, maybe the 7th-ranked player, but he's on. We've had a few guys on monster, legendary runs. MG Fresh is on one right now, and Jeremy has been on a really good one this year. We have really good players. I Am Legend and Fluckin' Fantasy have been playing well this year. But WTBA is another one of them. In the last couple of weeks, he's found his sweet spot. He's found his groove, and he's had some really good results. He put up a score of about 342 on Thursday, and I mean that was a monster score for this slate. So I'm pretty sure that was like a top 10, top 20 result in most single entry tournaments. I'm not sure where it would have stood in GPPs, but I think it would have done pretty well. It was his 5th win of the year, his 15th cash. So congrats to him. Also, Kings 2-time champs took down one of the Chambers at Chris Price, his name on Twitter. His 2nd win of the year, his 5th cash, Pro 14, his 3rd win of the year, his 7th cash. So congrats to all three of you for Chambers glory. On DraftKings, we only have run one Chambers on DraftKings, but it's 50 spots. And EPAB 2350 took down first place with a score of 293. Very nice score. Remember, DraftKings, even though you get Donkey Kong bonus points for double-doubles, three-pointers, if a guy, you know, high fives someone, if he gets ejected, you get weird points, but only 8 players. So that's still a really good score. The number 1 ranked player, Derek Ishmael, took 2nd, and the number 9th ranked player, Wazi the Guru DK, took 3rd. I wonder if Wazi the Guru, I guess that means you only play DK, right? Because obviously you can't be Wazi the Guru DK and be playing FanDuel. That would look a little bizarre, right? Like, what if you ever want to play on FanDuel? Or I guess, are you just Wazi the Guru on each site? So maybe you play FanDuel, then you're Wazi the Guru FD on FanDuel. I guess you could do that too. But congrats to all of you guys as well. I mean, I'm telling you, like, we have – the people who are taking down Chambers are posting monster scores and winning tons of money each night. And I knew we had top-notch players in FanDuel. I was a little nervous that our players in DraftKings Chambers weren't going to be as good, but they are. I mean, we have really good players in DraftKings Chambers. So if you want to test your skills on either site against some of the best players, and I'm not lying when I say that, some of the best players in DFS, just put yourself in Chambers and – you'll have a fun time, and you'll be competing against just extraordinary talent. All right, Dream Killers, Dream Lovers. There's only a 5-game slate, but dear God, this could be a 4-hour show just based on the Dream Killers and Dream Lovers. Starting with Dream Killers, why don't we start with Cleveland? What Ty Lue did to us, and I'm not sure if it's Ty Lue or if it was LeBron, because LeBron basically runs that team. He's been trolling the entire world, it seems like, the last couple weeks, as he's kind of found his own voice and decided that, you know what, he doesn't need to be silent. And if he wants to kind of go after someone, he now has the clout to do it. Yesterday's show, because that's what we were told, Ty Lue was pretty confident he was going to rest the big three for Cleveland. So what happened? He didn't rest any of them. And we didn't find out until about 6:35 Eastern time. So we had about 25 minutes to scramble, whereas all day long, basically all indications were that the big three for the Cavs were going to sit out. So obviously super frustrating, and on a short, small slate, 5-game slate, it changed the entire slate. I mean, all day long, the number of questions I got, on who to start between Kay Felder, hashtag French Fry, Jordan McRae, Richard Jefferson. I mean, Triscuit, I mean, it's just all moot, the second that LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love we're going to play again. So, again, that's part of DFS, and that's part of being ready in that last hour to be ready to pivot and make changes. But it is pretty crappy that Ty Lue led us down that path, for what seems like no freaking reason whatsoever. Because also, I mean, those guys did travel with the team. I wish some beat writer would have told us, look, all the Cavs are basically here with the team. Which would at least give us some indication they are going to play. I think someone finally tweeted out around maybe close to 6 p.m. Eastern around there that LeBron was on the court warming up or at least taking shots. And then at that point, I was like, you know what? Maybe he's going to play. And I started changing my thinking. But it was frustrating. And not to mention, they all sucked. I mean, Kyrie was okay, but was he better than – he needed to be better than Dame Lillard. And was he? No. So if you played him over like a guy like Lillard, you probably didn't do that well, although he probably didn't kill your lineup. And LeBron was an absolute mess. And at his price on any site, especially FanDuel, he was a soul crusher. And the thing was, he played 41 minutes. And I've been saying this now for a couple of weeks. Cleveland doesn't play any defense. And even though LeBron is leading the league in minutes, I think the part of the reason why he can lead the league in minutes is he's not playing defense at all. And half the time, he's not engaged in the game at all either. You'll see he'll have like spurts, like 5-6 minute spurts where he decides to really play. And then he'll obviously, not surprisingly, put up a monster fantasy point line in those short spurts. But even though he played 41 game minutes, it was really like 30, because there was like at least 11, 12 minutes in there where he clearly wasn't invested in that game. And he never is defensively. The last few weeks, he's barely, and maybe in the late in the fourth quarter, if a game gets tight, he'll try to play defense. Otherwise, he doesn't. And that's why you can attack LeBron in DFS and on the opposing teams. Just use the opposing team small forward. I've been doing it for the last month or so now. Really, all year he hasn't been playing solid defense. So all the Cavs, Ty Lue, soul freaking crushers tonight. Also, Frank Vogel. So what did this buster do? I mean, he's been a menace to us all year long. That's why it'd be interesting to get to whoever runs the Orlando Magic podcast on the show and just figure out what the hell is going on in Orlando. I mean, we could start with the management for them, trading Tobias Harris last year for no one, bringing 55-year-old Serge Ibaka for no reason. So I don't know what the hell they're doing from top down in terms of that entire organization. But for Frank Vogel, first of all, he benched Elfrid Payton, which quite honestly, I was fine with, because Elfrid, if you watch Elfrid Payton, we call him a tin man. He's one of the rare players who's a tin man. And he's at Magic Mountain, because there's certain games where he just doesn't try. And defensively, he's a mess. He's atrocious defensively some games. So Vogel started Watson, C.J. Watson, by the way, who's been around the league and been on like 14 teams. You should never be starting C.J. Watson. There's no good reason you could ever give. But his reason was, you know, he's the best, basically the best defender on the perimeter that they have, which if that's true, that's disgusting because he's not even that good of a defender. And if you saw T.J. McConnell hit the game winner, he was being guarded by C.J. Watson. It was some of the worst defense I've ever seen. I think I tweeted out that play. I'm not positive. But Frank Vogel, soul crusher, dream killer, because he also started Mario Hezonja. And I was like, great. I think I mentioned on the show yesterday, Mario got a big bump when Aaron Gordon was out. But he only played Mario 18 minutes. And another team, that's going nowhere. Mario Hezonja is talented. Why don't you play your young guys? He never plays Hezonja. So when he got the start, I took a flyer on Hezonja, and I don't regret it. I was hoping he would get 24 minutes. That didn't work out. Only got 18. And that clearly was not enough. Okafor for Philly. He's pure garbage. He's a disgusting player on both ends of the court. But if he's going to get decent minutes, even 24 minutes at his price, you think he could stumble and bumble and fumble into getting value. Not on this slate. I'm pretty sure he didn't even get a rebound in the first half. And he's somewhat like Brook Lopez in that way. He's not a good rebounder anyway. He's not athletic. If you watch him try to move, his lateral quickness is turtle emoji, turtle emoji, turtle emoji. And I need a new emoji, by the way. If you can, one thing about the judge, you may have noticed, I love emojis. I use them too often. And I need a new one because I'm sick of using the turtle. Like if a team plays slow in pace, what else can we use besides a turtle? I'm going to rely on you for this. Please tweet me some good suggestions for this. Also, just in general, what are some good emojis that I can use? I'm getting tired of using the same emojis. But Okafor is a horrible player, and he had a horrible game. Do I think at his price that he was fine for this slate? Sure, it was a small slate, and he was pretty cheap, especially on FanDuel. I think on DraftKings he was cheap too, but didn't work out. And he only got 22 minutes as well. Sam Dekker on DraftKings, I played him a ton. I was hoping with Eric Gordon out, he could get some extra minutes. He got 20, and that should have been enough for him to stumble and bumble into maybe 20 FanDuel points or so. It just didn't happen for him tonight. He did not have a good game, shot really poorly. So dream killer for him. Cody Zeller, he was out for a while with a quad injury. Then he left the game with a quad. He actually looked good when he was playing. I think it's not a big thing, but still that was enough to probably kill his value. Kemba Walker of the Charlotte Batums. He's just not – he's a Magic Mountain guy now. I don't get it. It's super bizarre to watch. If you watch that game, he was like really frustrated. He got a technical. He had only 14 actual points and 6 turnovers. I mean, Nick Batum was running the offense. I mean, I think someone asked me on Twitter – and sometimes, by the way, I can't answer all your questions on Twitter. Sometimes either I don't see him because I'm getting too many tweets. By the time I see it, it's like 4 or 5 hours later. I try to answer as many as I can, by the way. But – I think someone tweeted me, like, why does Batum not have a lot of shots? That's because Batum had to be the point guard. Batum had to run the entire freaking offense as Kemba's pouting in the corner like a little baby. So, anyway, Batum was great, but Kemba was not. Kemba was disgusting. James Harden, 9 turnovers, and if you played Harden over Westbrook like I did a lot on both sites, on FanDuel and DraftKings, it didn't work out. I also had a lot of them with the same lineup, had them in the same lineup. But Harden, it's just he's so bad to watch. He's horrible. He dribbles without a reason, without a purpose, and then he just flails his arms, gets fouls. He still put up it's bizarre because he still put up a really good line, and obviously he's a really good player. And this is where you need to separate real life and DFS and also just watching basketball. I don't think his style of play is fun to watch. And then the rest of the Houston team, they just stand by the 3-point line, jack up threes. How they win and why teams can't guard that better, I will never understand. Just defend the 3-point line. I mean, teams are so freaking stupid. Like Ryan Anderson, he thinks anything inside the 3-point line is quicksand. He will not step inside the 3-point line. Even Trevor Ariza won't either. It's just like defend the 3-point line. It's all you got to do if you're playing against them. Now Harden, that's a different story because refs, if you breathe on Harden, you're going to get a foul call. But Harden was not good tonight. He was lazy. He was incompetent. 9 turnovers. He was disgusting. Yet he still had 50 FanDuel points, I think. Ryan Anderson, I think he had around 20 FanDuel points. At his price, it was still okay. But yeah, he didn't shoot the ball that well. Not a good game for him. If you played Sabonis, like from now on, can I play his father? I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember Arvydas Sabonis. His dad was really good. I think Sabonis one day might be a decent player, but like, man, did he get some glares from what Russell tonight? Like Russell on some fast breaks, Westbrook threw him a couple passes where he wasn't in the right spot. Man, I thought Westbrook was going to punch him a couple times. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what to do with Sabonis going forward, except maybe just never, ever, 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 ever play him. He's so freaking bad. It's amazing too, because he starts, he's like 7 feet tall. He's allergic to getting rebounds. He misses layups. Just sometimes watching him play, he looks like the worst player in the freaking world. But watch, next game out, he's going to get 25 fandom points. And you know, like and when I say things like we can never play him, clearly that's not true, because next time out, if it's a small slate, we're forced to play guys like that. I mean, you saw on this slate, freaking guys like Roberson were in some winning lineups. Aminu was in winning lineups. So there's bums like Sabonis that sadly it's just part of, you know, part of DFS, but it's never fun to play guys like that. Rudy Gobert, he's a dream killer to me, because not only did the worst game of the night in terms of pace, Dallas, Utah, go to overtime, he still only had 36 fandom points against the worst rebounding team in the NBA. He only had 15 rebounds. He should have had like 25 rebounds. So Vucevic still outscored him. I think Steven Adams still outscored him. And that should have never happened against a Dallas team that is, playing Dirk at center or Salah Mesri at center. So freaking soul crusher for Gobert. Gobert really let me down. And then Harkless as well. Man, I think he only got like 20-something minutes, and he did what Harkless normally does, and that's stumble and bumble into around 20. But you can't have guys like Aminu put up 30 or whatever Aminu put up, and guys like Ingles destroy Harkless, who are basically the same price or cheaper, put up better nights, and that's what happened. Part of that, though, was Terry Stotts being an a-hole like he always is with minutes. Dream lovers, many dream lovers, even though it's a 5-game slate. I went all in on Saric, and that one paid off for me. I mean, one of my favorite things to do, and this is why Vucevic can be a dream lover, he can be like a two-time, a double rainbow dream lover, because he's the worst defender, one of the worst defensive centers in the NBA by far. So whoever is going to get some Vucevic defense, I will play every day without hesitation. One of the first things I do, I just put him in some lineups. I was hoping that Saric would get some Vucevic defense, and he did. So he was, easy for him to score around the basket, and he ended up getting pretty good minutes as well. The minutes for me was the bigger concern. So Saric can be tough to play in cash games, but still he's dirt cheap on almost all sites right now. So I loved that play. That one paid off for me. Vucevic, offensively, Vucevic is super talented. He's Orlando's best offensive player. He's him and Fournier, and I think he's more offensively skilled than Fournier is probably. So Vucevic had a great game, 21 points, 11 rebounds, 2 blocks, 3 assists. Marcus Smart, this one, if you played him, you got a little bit lucky, although I didn't mind the play. On 5-game slates, you can take chances like that. After lineup lock, we found out that Jay Crowder got ruled out, and because Crowder got ruled out, man, he saw all the minutes in the world. He got the start. He's been coming off the bench lately, and he got a bump in minutes, a bump in usage. And he was terrific. So if you played Marcus Smart, congrats. Batum was great. The Charlotte Batums, I think he had over 10 assists, I think. Westbrook was phenomenal as always. If Harden wins the MVP over Westbrook, man, I'm gonna hit so many people over the head with my gavel. I will be so frustrated. Westbrook is playing it. Well, first of all, he's just so much more fun to watch play. But I think he's playing better than Harden is on a more consistent basis and with clearly less talented players around him. Evan Fournier was him and Vucevic were terrific for Orlando. They were the keys to winning anything tonight. You had to have both those guys in your lineups. He had 24 points, 8 assists, 9 rebounds, 1 steal. The 8 assists were pretty surprising. But when Vogel made the switch to CJ Watson, basically there was no point guard. So you kind of knew Fournier was going to be the point guard. That's what it kind of made elevated Fournier in my eyes. I was like, who's going to handle the ball for Orlando? I mean, CJ Watson is not a freaking point guard. He's barely a shooting guard. He's barely has a pulse if you watch him play. So Fournier became a elite play, and he's still underpriced around the industry. Trevor Ariza. This is the one thing about Ariza, why Occasionally when he starts playing well, I do like rostering him because he's not a one-trick pony. When he's missing shots, he still can put up good lines. 11 points only, 7 rebounds though, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 3 assists. So you end up with over 30 Fando points. Now, the problem is sometimes this year, he just doesn't show up because he's old now. And sometimes I'm not sure what the issue with him has been this year, but he goes like weeks at a time with being so not interested in games and without touching the ball and without playing good defense. Cause he used to be a really like a lockdown defender and he has not been this year. But, if he can stay engaged and stay active on both ends of the court, he just needed to make his three pointers to put up a good Fando line or a good DraftKings line. And that's what happened on Thursday. Aminu, you know, he's a man without a usage rate, although the usage rate is slowly coming up. He scored 26 actual points, shot 8 of 12 from the floor. Is that going to happen a lot? No. Did you get a little lucky if you played him? Yeah, but did it make sense on this slate? Sure. Not to mention the Portland-Boston game was a beautiful game to target, so I didn't mind that play at all. But I don't expect him to shoot 8 for 12 again. Joe Ingles for Utah. I mean, Dante Exum was terrific on Wednesday. I don't know if anyone watched that game. I went back and watched it today because I wanted to see if I could take advantage of any of the Utah guys. I thought, and then what happened in today's game? Quinn Snyder decided to basically start Exum, but then not play him many minutes, which is super frustrating. Why? Because Exum was terrific on Wednesday. But guys like Joe Ingles went nuts, and Gordon Hayward had another good game. Those guys are dream lovers. Dirk Nowitzki was good again. He played 37 minutes. Pretty freaking surprising. That was – so Rick Carlisle, man, if Dirk's going to be getting 37 minutes, obviously he won't do that on a back-to-back, but that means he's going to be in play for me going forward. Now, Dirk's price is going to rise in the next couple of days, so watch. He's going to be like 6.5K, and then he's going to be almost unplayable for me. But 37 minutes, he had a good night. All right. Before we get into the slate, let us do a little segment called – Enter the Chambers. What does that mean, you may ask? So now, people, you know, there's every podcast out there, they run through all the games. They tell you, oh, who should I play? Westbrook or Harden? Westbrook or Harden? Let's play Westbrook. Do I play Beal or Booker? Beal or Booker? Ooh, what a tough decision. Yes, and that's obviously important who you play. But just as important is talking things like strategy. And to me, one of the things that's relevant today that we should talk about is how are you handling the last hour before lineup lock? Because that's, as I mentioned at the top of the show, it's one of the most important things right now in DFS. And first of all, if you can't have 100% attention in that last hour and be by a computer, my advice in DFS second half of the year is either to sit out the slate or don't play your normal amount because you do need to be engaged. Like it's almost every day – especially the larger the slate, the more news is going to happen. But even on small slates too, you really have to be paying attention that last hour. And if you can't be, you're going to be at a big disadvantage. You may leave the house at 6 p.m. Eastern. Let's say you have to take the kids to karate lessons or whatever you have to do. And you may come back at 7 and half your lineup may be sitting out that night. So I as much as it sucks, try to find a way to, you know, somehow the more attention you can devote in that last hour before lineup lock, the better spot you're going to be in. That's first. Secondly, have a plan, right? Have a plan. I mean, first of all, a lot of the news that we get is not that surprising. We know 90% of the guys who are questionable, who are out. So know what you're going to do. Make a choice earlier in the day how you want to proceed. If a guy's questionable and you don't hear before lineup lock, already have in your mind what do you want to do? Do you want to take a risk and play him? Do you want to fade him and pivot off to someone else? Don't be, you know, guys who are already questionable, you have no excuse. If you don't find out before lineup lock, you still have time. You had all day long to make a decision. So already don't at 6:50 Eastern, 10 minutes before lineup lock, be like, oh my God, I haven't heard about Dwayne Wade tonight. What do I do? What do I do? You should already had a plan, have a plan in place and be ready for that scenario. Especially if a team's on the West Coast. If a team's playing on the West Coast, you probably know before lineup lock, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get the news. So just be ready. And if you want to take a risk on certain guys or not, and if you're a tournament player, feel free to take a risk on guys who are if you don't hear the injury news by lineup lock. Let's see. All right. So next one is similar to having a plan. Be ready to pivot once you hear the news on guys who are questionable. Like I said, you should already know what to do, right? So there's really, for 90% of the guys out there, there's no reason to be caught off guard. So if Butler or Wade are questionable all day long, and then you finally do hear Butler's out, then you pivot probably off to Wade, right? Because Wade gets the massive usage bump. Know what to do. For the most part, yes, is it going to be a scramble? Are you going to have to do a bunch of clicks on certain lineups? Yes, but spend the time doing clicks. Don't spend the time trying to think what to do, because a lot of that already should have taken place well earlier in the day. Again, 80 to 90% of the guys, we already know who's questionable, who's going to be out. So have a plan. Know who you want to pivot to once the injury news does come in. Then when it finally does come in, you're ahead of the game. Because if you're spending time thinking about what to do and then you still have to make clicks to about 20 different lineups on different sites, you're going to be in deep, deep trouble. Next is, okay, so that's one scenario. Then we do have cases where, let's face it, like today, right, where we thought Cleveland guys were going to be out, and then out of the blue, for the most part, the Cleveland guys were going to play. So there are situations, I think, in the last week there's been a lot, that, quite honestly. There's been, Markieff Morris one day out of the blue was ruled out. I think last week we had one day Kyrie was ruled out. So that does happen. So sometimes you are going to be caught off guard. When that happens, what should you do? First, prioritize contests, right? Obviously, sometimes if it's a total slate changer, like today was with the Cavs one, the first lineups you need to go change are the ones with the highest entry fee contests, right? So I play ones that are let's say, sometimes I play up to $300, entry tournaments. But today I played I think $100 entry tournament. But then I also played ones that were like $1 or $2. So clearly, where's my focus going to be? I'm going to go to the one that's $100 entry fee first, because I want to make sure my lineup is, I'm comfortable with my lineup in that contest before I go and check on the contest that's for $1. Now, hopefully I have time to get to all of them, but you have to prioritize sometimes. So go to the one that's the highest entry fee first. Secondly, take some deep breaths. Like once the news hits, sit back and go, and then remember your original lineup that you built, that you spent 4 or 5 hours researching earlier in the day, right? You built that lineup for a reason. So everyone that you originally had in there was a good play. Now, a lot of times we tend to overreact when there's news. So what I like to do is I like to keep intact one of my original lineups, because I like those play to start the day before I hit whatever news, shook up the slate. And there's probably a good chance everyone is still a good play. Now, don't be an idiot. If one of the guys I liked is Jimmy Butler and then Jimmy Butler gets ruled out, don't keep Jimmy Butler in the freaking lineup and then say, "Judge, you told me to stick to my original lineup." I mean, don't be an a-hole. Don't be a troll. But take a deep breath and remember, everyone you thought was a good play is probably still a good play. Also then think for your first inclination, think the immediate news of the impact, right? So let's say Kevin Love was ruled out of the blue. What do? You should know, well, hopefully you know by now, Kyrie Irving gets about an 8% usage bump. So he becomes an elite play. LeBron gets about, a 4 or 5% usage bump. They become elite plays. So clearly you want to try to get more of those guys in your lineup. But then you need to think about the ripple effects of the whatever news changed the entire slate, right? And that's where I like to make my money. Everyone, most people will at this point, everyone's good at DFS. They know if Love's out, everyone's going to go pivot to Kyrie, pivot to Love, pivot to LeBron. But what I do, what a lot of people don't do because either they don't have time to do it or they're just thinking about other things. I think about the ripple effects, right? So how will the game change now if Kevin Love is out? Maybe the game stays closer if Cleveland was going to blow them out. Maybe now the game will stay closer. Also, who's going to get the rebounds for Cleveland now, right? Also, will Cleveland go big or will they go small? Who's going to get Love's minutes? What about the other team? Now will it be easier for the other team to grab some rebounds? Are they going to have an easier matchup? the power forward for the other team or whoever Kevin Love was gonna guard, maybe they'll have a tougher matchup. So try to think like one step ahead and think about the ripple effects as well. And I think that's where you can – that's where – remember, you're trying to stay one step ahead of everyone else. And that's where I like to make my money, thinking ahead of everyone else. Because like I said, DFS is hard. Everyone's good. It's little things like that that can be the difference between 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 points, FanDuel or DraftKings points. And that's the difference between not cashing and cashing or finishing 10th in a GPP and finishing first. All right. That was our segment of Enter the Chambers for Friday. Our injury news for Friday, D. Wade dealing with an illness. If D. Wade is out, where is it? Jimmy Butler sees a 6.1% usage bump. So even if Wade plays, Butler is a really good play on this slate. If Wade's out, Butler will probably be in every single lineup I make, probably on any site. MCW gets a 2% usage bump. I also will like MCW a lot if Wade is out. And then Taj Gibson gets a 1.5% usage bump. So I don't mind him if Wade is out. Deion Waiters is still questionable for Miami, the team that can never lose. If Deion is out, James Johnson surprisingly gets the biggest bump in usage. He gets a 2.5% usage bump. And you saw this came true last game. He put up over 30 FanDuel points, and he was really good. And also Dragic, his other guy, would look too with a 2% usage bump. Tyler Johnson does not see a usage bump without Deion Waiters, but sometimes you just have to think logically. Like Tyler Johnson still almost hit value last game, and he shot horrifically. So if Waiters is out, I still think Tyler Johnson is a really good play, especially in tournaments. Joakim Noah is out with a hamstring still, so I still like Hernan Gomez over O'Quinn. Kenneth Faried and Moutier are both out. So for Denver, the guy who gets the biggest uptick in usage is Will Barton, and he's been tremendous. He started the second half last game. He's the really good play right now. Now, I don't know what his price is. We'll find out in a few minutes if the price did go up. If it went up, maybe he won't be such a good play. But he does see a really nice usage bump. Also, Wilson Chandler sees about a 2% usage bump as well, so he's a good play. And Jameer Nelson, a 1.7% usage bump. Then you got Markieff Morris is questionable. What's crazy about Markieff being – if he's out, you see, like, Wall gets over a 6% usage bump, which to me is crazy. Like, I don't know how it's that high. It's super late in the morning, so maybe I'm just drunk or I'm, like, delirious because I haven't slept that much. But Wall, even though Wall is super expensive, he's a really good play. I mean, Wall's a good play anyway. But that like, a usage bump like that is too hard for me to ignore. Bradley Beal also sees, like, a 3.3% usage bump. And when I was looking at data yesterday, I forgot what percentage of Bradley Beal's threes Wall assists on. It's like third highest in the league or something like that. So the Wall-Beal combo makes some sense for me on Friday. Also, Otto Porter, the man without a usage rate, does see about a 2% usage bump when Markieff's out. Then you got Thaddeus Young, questionable, Thefalosha, Ty Lawson, Caspi, blah, 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 blah. All right, let's take a trip to Vegas. Man, tired guys. I'm trying to battle through for you guys. I am tired. All right. So nine game slate. So remember, the slate guides us. I don't know if we're in New York, but we're in a big city. This is a big slate. We got lots of ladies, lots of guys to choose from, depending on, you know, on your preference. And so maybe are we in LA? I mean, we're definitely in a big city. Are we in like Austin, Texas? We're somewhere big. Lots of options on this slate. Lots of really good games too. Denver Knicks. There will be zero defense. We could spend the rest of the show just talking about that game. What a beautiful game. What a goldmine. 228 over-under, by far the highest over-under of the night. The Knicks are favored by 2.5, but the Knicks are playing some of the worst basketball, especially defensively. So that's just a glorious game. Now, wow. I mean, so many players stacked the hell out of that game in tournaments for sure. You got Lakers-Bucks, 218 over-under. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens to the Bucks now without Jabari Parker. So he tore his ACL, which is it's a shame. The second time he tore that same leg. So hopefully he can recover. When I looked at the usage rates with him out, there's really not a whole lot there. Middleton sees a massive bump, but that's not going to help be that helpful because Middleton's not going to get a ton of minutes right now anyway. Maybe after the All-Star break, that will come into play for us. Like Teletovic, Henson, and Monroe both see a little over like 1%, a 1% usage bump. I don't know. If I had to guess, I would think Kidd's going to troll us all. He'll probably play Teletovic and Beasley would be my guess, would be the two guys who would step into Jabari Parker's role because he's going to need some scoring. And Teletovic and Beasley make the most sense. If I had to choose one over the other, I would guess maybe Beasley. But we're going to have to wait and see. Let's see who gets the start. And obviously that would be the guy who would be a little bit safer. But they're both going to be in play because you got the Lakers playing the Bucks. The Lakers are atrocious defensively. And now Giannis is super expensive on this slate. He hasn't been playing well either. So he's intriguing though without Parker. The weird thing was he does not see a usage rate increase without Parker. Now, using our brains and not looking at the data, should he see a usage bump without Parker? You would think so. Golden State, Memphis. Memphis, 215.5 over under with Memphis involved. Memphis playing way up in pace. Golden State's only favored by 7. So could this finally be a day we can attack, use Golden State guys and Memphis guys? Maybe especially the Memphis guys we can. Indiana, Washington, that's a really nice game, 214 over under. Pelicans, Wolves, 214 over under. Man, it's really hard to narrow the playing field because the game with the lowest over under right now is Atlanta, Sacramento with a 208 over under. And that's still a decent game. I mean, the other thing that makes this slate tricky in terms of narrowing the player pool, there's really no projected blowout. So, man, like we're going to have to find ways to narrow the player pool in other ways. So I can't just look at a game and say I don't want any piece of it. If I had to choose one, it'd probably be San Antonio, Detroit with a 209 over under, where the Spurs are only favored by 4.5, which is surprising. But maybe that's a game that I don't want a piece of. And I guess, you know, quite honestly, maybe that Atlanta-Sacramento is another one in cash games that I do just kind of X off. All right, teams playing up in pace. Miami, way up in pace against Brooklyn. Memphis, way up in pace against Golden State. The Bulls, way up in pace against Phoenix. One reason why I love Butler. And yes, I know, I already can see the trolls tweeting me, oh, Butler is going to get P.J. Tucker defense. Yes, he will get P.J. Tucker defense. Does that scare me? No, it doesn't, especially if Wade's not there. The Knicks are going to be Knicks playing up in defense or playing up in pace against Denver, and the Bucks up in pace against the Lakers. Those are the teams I'm looking to target the most. All right, hop into the plays. Hop into the plays. All right, point guard. So, oh great! I just realized I had like an extra window open. So if this show has been having like audio problems, it probably was because I had this extra window open and I want to take the gavel and smash my own skull right now because I'm mad at myself for that. Hopefully the audio has been okay. And I have noticed that there has been some skips going on and I'm not really sure how to fix it. I've talked to like 20, 30 people about it. Actually, was even talked to like the Geek Squad over at the Apple Store to try to fix it as well. So yeah, I'm trying, guys. It's just not, you know, sometimes computers hate me. All right, so it's point guard, John Wall, 10.5K, facing Indiana. I mentioned that without Markieff, if Markieff sits out, he does see that 6% usage bump, and there's no Westbrook on this slate, there's no Harden. Wall might be one of my favorite plays, him and Butler, quite honestly. So Wall, safe for all formats, no issues with using him whatsoever. Also, that the pace of that game should be delicious. You can stack that game. So, yeah, very, very good play. The ceiling hasn't been tremendous with him. Remember, he hasn't hit 60 Fando points since 2016. So at that price, you don't have to do it. It is expensive. Point guard on a 9-game slate, as you guys know, it's loaded. So, no, you don't have to do it, but he's fine. Steph Curry, 9.5K. I will not do it in cash games, tournaments, and single entry. Go ahead against Memphis. That game should stay close. But yeah, I don't want to do it against Memphis in cash. Bledsoe, he's gone back to Magic Mountain. Also, the price has gone down, and he gets the Bulls deep, a Bulls team who you can attack their point guards. He'll be underowned. He'll be overlooked on this slate. He's been in the 20s the last 3 games. The minutes haven't been great. Hornacek basically came out and said he thinks Bledsoe is tired. So all that screams GPP only. Dragic, 8.1K. He gets Brooklyn. You know, I tweeted a couple days ago, I'm not going to start attacking Brooklyn as much as I have been in the past, because Brooklyn, they're like, if you look at DVP, they're basically the worst every position. But I've been attacking them ferociously, making a ton of money earlier in the year. And lately, it hasn't worked out as much. I feel like I've been forcing it. I mean, then again, it seems like it's only Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker can never destroy. He can't destroy anyone these days, especially Brooklyn. So Dragic is still in a really good spot. He's playing tremendous basketball. Deion Waiters is out, so he does see the bump in usage. So, look, you save 2,400 from John Wall. Could he give you as many fandom points as John Wall? It'll be hard, but he could be close. So he's against Brooklyn. He is still safe for all formats. So maybe my motto about not attacking Brooklyn as much, maybe I'm not going to stick to that. Drew Holiday, 7.9K against Minnesota. Yeah. I don't know what to do with him on this slate. Fine. He's fine for tournaments. I will have my one Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis lineup. If Tyreek is out, I will like Drew Holiday more. I think Tyreek is currently questionable. Ricky Rubio defense has not been great this year. Also, Rubio's minutes have kind of been in flux the last couple of games as well. So Holiday's fine. It's just I don't love it on this slate. Jeff Teague, 7.7K. John Wall is a sneaky good defender. It's always bizarre because Washington plays at a pretty fast pace. Yet, you know, they do defend that position pretty well. They give up the fifth fewest fandom points to opposing point guards. And Teague's usage rate is pretty low for point guards on this slate. There's only five point guards who have a lower usage rate, starting point guards, than Jeff Teague on this slate, which is crazy. The good thing is, though, his assists have been phenomenal. He's had the games of 14 and 15 in the last week or two. So I think he's fine. It's just I'm not going to use him in cash games. But will I have like one Wall and Teague lineup and hope this Indiana-Washington game gets crazy, goes to overtime? Sure. Mike Conley, he's in a really good spot. The problem is like, he just doesn't flash upside lately. He does like once a month, he'll give you like a 60. Other than that, he'll be in the 20s and 30s. So, I mean, I played a lot of him against Phoenix, playing way up in pace. He gave me 31 Fando points. I played a lot of him against Minnesota. He gave me 32 Fando points. Now, at his price, is that going to kill your lineup? No. But is that going to be enough to take down a GPP? Probably not. You just hope that against Golden State, that one of these days, playing up in pace, he does take advantage of it. It is a fair price. I do think he's safe for all formats. But if you just from watching him play, also they run a lot of that offense through Gasol as well. So it's just not an elite play, but really good play. Ricky Rubio, GPPs only at this point. 21 minutes last game scared the hell out of me. If you watched him, he hasn't been good two of the last three games. He's been really bad. I did actually the one game where I only watched a quarter of it was the Miami game where he played well. The two games that I watched from start to finish, he was trash. He's already a guy without a usage rate. Now he does get the Pelicans. You can attack them defensively. You know, the pace of this game should be fine. If I play him, I'm probably going to play him with Towns. Because remember, if you're playing Rubio, you're playing him for the assists. So it really doesn't make sense to play him without playing another Minnesota guy who you think Ricky's going to be passing the ball to. And obviously right now, it's either going to be Wiggins or Towns. Those are only two guys I trust for Minnesota. Dennis Schroeder, 6.5K. Fine. Really good play. You know, Sacramento, you can attack their guards. Coming off a really monstrous day against Denver. Granted, that was Denver. So, you know, recency bias, he'll be overowned on this slate probably, but he's still fine. That's a very fair price, safe for all formats. If you want a criminal, you can play Derrick Rose. 6.2K. By the way, when I saw like security guards coming in to arrest Oakley a couple days ago, I thought they were going to arrest Derrick Rose. I was like, what are you doing? Rose is still on the court. Arrest him. Arrest him. Not Oakley. I'm crazy with that incident. So Rose, I mean, he put up 39 fandom points last game, and now he does get Denver. You guys know I love attacking Denver. Half my bank account is basically it just says money courtesy of Denver guards. So, I mean, I hate playing Rose. I hate everything about him. But because, remember, the slate dictates what I do. I look above my computer screen, my desk, where I'm sitting doing the podcast, and that's one of my favorite mottos, and I can't deny it. With that over-under, yeah, he's fine for all formats on this slate. D'Angelo Russell, tournaments only. I still like the usage rate, although it's come down a little bit. I don't like Luke Walton's minutes. So he may get 20 minutes and he may get 32. If he gets 32, he could be a good play. But he also plays Milwaukee. Milwaukee defends point guard really well and also plays at a slow pace. So not a good spot for him. Reggie Jackson, by the way, if you're on DraftKings, Reggie Jackson's like 4.9K. On FanDuel, he's 5.7K. So he's dirt cheap right now. Now, there's a reason for that. He's been dreadful, and Stan Van Gundy's basically splitting minutes with him and Ish Smith. It's an absolute mess. So can you play him in cash? No. But is he, you know, can you play him in tournaments? Of course. That's how you could take down a tournament. Now, they're playing the Spurs, so not a good spot for him whatsoever. I do like him more on DraftKings. I'm 4.9K. Even with only 24 minutes, he should be able to hit value there. So I don't love it, even at 5.7K. But, I, you know, if I have 10 lineups, maybe I have him in one or two. Tyler Johnson, 5.6. I love this play, 5.6K. I really do. I went back and watched some of the Miami's last game against Milwaukee, and Tyler Johnson had 26 Vandal points, and he shot like 3 of 12 from the floor. He just missed every shot he took. So if he makes like half those shots, then he gives me 30, 35 Vandal points, and I'm rolling in money. And now he gets Brooklyn. So Andy Waiters is out. So really good spot for him. Quite honestly, I won't say safe for all formats, even though I really do think it is. But, you know, great tournament play. Other than that, you got Collison. Remember, Cousins is back now, so I'm probably going to jump off the Collison train. MCW, if Wade's out, I like him a lot. Then you got Jameer Nelson, Dellavedova. But remember, because we're living in L.A. on this slate, because we're living in Austin, Texas, we're in a big city still. It's a 9-game slate, lots of options. You don't have to force it. If you feel like you're forcing it, especially I mean mostly in cash games. If you feel like you're forcing it, you probably are. You don't need to do it. I don't need questions about any Plumlees on this slate. I don't need questions about, you know, do I play, you know, let's say Sabonis was playing, which he's not. You know, today you don't have to dig that deep. You know, options at every position. A really good player. Every position that you can have in your lineup, and no Westbrook and Harden, so it's pretty easy to fit to have a nice balanced lineup on Friday. So the Greek Freak is 11.2K. So they jacked up his price. Jabari Parker's out for the year, but he's just been really bad lately. So I can't recommend playing him in cash. But it is the Lakers. Could he end up being the highest Fando point guy or DraftKings point guy on the slate? Yeah. So tournament sure. But yeah, I mean, I don't love it. I mean, man, he hasn't been able to pay off a 10K price tag. So how the hell is he going to pay off 11.2K? Bradley Beal, 7.5K. Remember, with Markieff out, he gets a nice usage bump. Indiana, I don't know who's going to be guarding him. He has a nice, easy matchup. He's been really good the last two games, even though against Brooklyn, he actually wasn't that good. He just still put up 41 Vandal points because it's friggin' Brooklyn. So Beal, safe for all formats. Devin Booker, 6.8K. He is a one-trick pony, and he gets lots of minutes, though, and he gets lots of shots, and he's fine. I prefer Beal on this slate, but he's okay. I wouldn't do Booker in cash. I would do him in tournaments only. Klay Thompson, yeah, tournaments only. Lou Williams, hell to the no, 6.2K against Milwaukee. Wow, really slow in pace. He's not going to get 26 minutes. That's going to be that's like a ceiling. So no, like his ceiling on this slate is 30 Fando points, and that's like hitting value for him. So I can't envision him being a good play, except the fact that it's DFS and in tournaments. That's how, you know, typically guys like that end up going nuts for no reason whatsoever. Will Barton. So Will Barton's 5.8K. So the price did come up a little bit. The last two games, 45 and 49 Fando points. That's how talented he is, and that's how good of a scorer he is. And what's crazy, if you've been watching Denver play, he's been rebounding, and he's also been playing like point guard for them a lot of the time. Because with Moutier out and Jameer Nelson, 75 years old, they're letting him play point guard, which at first I thought was crazy until I actually saw that happening, and he was running the offense, which was freaking crazy. So 5.8K against the Knicks in a 228 over-under game. As long as Moutier and I forgot who else is questionable. As long as the Denver guys are out, he's going to be safer. Now, it's hard to use him in cash games. So on a nine-game slate, you don't have to do it. But because of the 228 over-under, I do think he's pretty much whatever. If you don't want to use him in cash, fine. But elite tournament play. But he will be chalk on this slate. Tim Hardaway Jr., 5.6K. A very nice little pivot. I mean, off of Will Barton, if you want to be contrarian, pivot off of Barton and play some Tim Hardaway Jr. They do have somewhat similar upsides. I mean, Will Barton's is a little bit higher right now with the injuries in Denver. But could Tim Hardaway Jr. outscore Will Barton? Yeah, he could. And if he does, that's how you can take down a tournament. KCP, 5.2K. Another guy. He's a Magic Mountain guy, so he could give you 5 or 50. I will not play him in cash, probably. But tournaments, he's okay. And also, you can attack Spurs shooting guards. Another sneaky move is if you want to fade Will Barton and play Gary Harris. It's contrarian. Gary Harris is a little more of a, you know, somewhat of a safer player, a more steady floor, but basically a guy who's living without a ceiling right now. The ceiling is just not there, which sucks because it should be. He's super athletic. Sometimes you watch Denver, and the problem with him is the usage rate. He just doesn't get enough shots, and that's one thing that I will never say the same thing about Will Barton. And that's why if I'm choosing Will Barton and Gary Harris on this slate, I prefer Will Barton, especially in tournaments, because Will Barton will be shooting the ball while Gary Harris will be standing in the corner. And I'm going to be crying and being like, where the frick is Gary Harris? Where is he? Where is he? And then I'll see him in a corner waving to me through the television. Then you got under 5K. You got Middleton. I don't think he's going to get enough minutes yet. Courtney Lee, Nick Young, Wayne Ellington. I guess Wayne Ellington's in play, right? Because Deion Waiters is out. So he saw 28 minutes last game. So now he gets Brooklyn. So yeah, Dwayne Ellington's safe for all formats on this slate. All right, small forward. You got Durant. Cash game. I will not use him in cash against Memphis. If you want to use him in tournaments, sure. Kawhi against Detroit. I just prefer Butler to Kawhi. So they're basically the same price. Kawhi's 9.6. Jimmy Butler's 9.5. Both are fine. I think a nice move is just paying up for getting Kawhi and Butler. They're both in good spots. San Antonio is going to play Detroit. I mean, the over-under of that game seemed a little bit high to me. I expect them, but San Antonio has been sneaky bad defensively lately. They've been giving up a lot of points. So maybe that's why one reason why the over-under is a little bit higher than I would anticipated. So I do prefer Butler though over Kawhi because Butler's playing Phoenix. Butler's playing way up in pace. He also hasn't played in a week or so. So he's going to be super well rested. And if Wade is out, it's hard to envision him not smashing. And yes, even if the ninth wonder of the world, PJ Tucker, defends him, he should be fine. He's also going to have to initiate that offense. So he's going to be playing the point guard, shooting guard, small forward. Even if he's had a bad shooting day against PJ Tucker, he's going to get rebounds, assists, blocks, steals. So he should be fine. Paul George, 8.7K. In tournaments, though, if you want to fade Butler and go to a guy like Kawhi, go to a guy like Durant, go to a guy like Paul George, obviously, yes, you can do that because Butler will be somewhat chalkish. So Paul George, 8.7K in a pretty fast-paced game against Washington. I don't mind this. He has his tin man moments. He's not always super engaged. He's been a frustrating guy to play for the most part throughout this year. I do like the fact the last few games he's been rebounding the ball better. He's also been getting some assists. So that's, he's fine. Don't love it, but okay. Carmelo, yeah, I mean, everything about this Denver or New York game, I want to play everyone in this game. I just cannot envision any defense being played. And also, I think Melo is just fed up right now. It's funny, when you look at his stats, he was actually passing the ball at one of the highest rates of his career early in the year. And kind of lately, ever since, like, Phil Jackson keeps, like, basically trolling him every day, if you look at the analytics, he's going back to playing a lot more isolation ball, which is bad for the Knicks, which is bad for if you're watching. It's basically become a ball stopper again. But for DFS, if you want to play him, it's great. So no one on Denver should be able to guard him. I guess Wilson Chandler will try. But, pretty much safe for all formats, even though it's hard to say that against Melo. But the reason I'm so high in this game is the 228 over-under. That's just a massive number. And, God, those teams don't play any defense. Andrew Wiggins, 7.6K. It's scary to say, but he's slowly and close to becoming a cash game play these days. He sees a nice bump without LaVine, and LaVine's out for the year. So I probably do prefer Melo, but again, tournaments, like a nice little contrarian move, pivoting off of Melo and playing some Wiggins. And Wiggins could outscore Melo. Play them both. You could also do that as well. You don't want to spend up for Jimmy Butler and Kawhi, Durant. Play Carmelo and Wiggins. They're both in really good spots. I'm not paying 6.7K for Otto Porter. I say it all the time. Although he does get a little bit of a usage bump with Markieff out, so I guess he's not horrible. The thing is, it's like sometimes I wonder why he doesn't get more shots, because if you watched him play, he does lead the league in three-point field goal percentage. So he does have offensive skills, and if he ever does get a usage rate, and you look at his game logs, he has been consistent. So I get it if you want to play him. I mean, I do like he gets the usage bump without Markieff. Wilson Chandler, 6.7K. And this is why, you know, if I choose between Otto and Wilson Chandler, I would still just play Wilson Chandler. One, it's a better game than just Knicks-Denver, but also he's going to get more shots. 38, 35 Fandle points last two with Gallo out. So I just think Wilson Chandler has more upside. Now, if you want to use Otto in cash games, I guess that's fine to do. I quite honestly, I'd prefer Wilson in all formats a little bit. Marcus Morris, 5.8K. Yeah, the San Antonio-Detroit game. I don't want a ton of that, though. Matt Barnes, he's only 5.1K, so that's pretty reasonable as well as he's been playing. He's locked into tons of minutes because, Sacramento lost Rudy Gay. He's been excellent, so I don't mind that for any format you want to do it. That's scary to say, but it's true. Then you got bums. You got Bazemore, Tucker, Bogdanović. TJ Warren is a nice tournament play coming off a horrendous day. You guys know I keep a spreadsheet. Recency bias, guys who are coming off of bad games. TJ Warren's one of the top guys on there for this slate. He was so bad against Memphis, against the Bulls. Now, will he see some Jimmy Butler defense? Maybe. But if Wade's out, Butler's going to be expending so much energy on the offensive end. And Warren's dirt cheap. He could have a big night. Ronnie Hollis Jefferson, is he starting to intrigue me? He's starting to get more minutes, over 30 minutes last game. So if he could somehow get 30 minutes a night, which for Brooklyn's almost impossible, at that price, he's fine for all formats. He does have upside. Then you got to keep an eye if the Bucks start Beasley. If Beasley's 4.4K against the Lakers, even though I still think he might only get 24 minutes, that should be enough to hit value. So there are some nice value small forwards on the guys on this slate. Then you got CJ Miles. Remember, Brandon Ingram is still starting for the Lakers now. And I've been playing him last three games in cash games, and he's been working out for me 24, 26, 20 last three games. No one else has been playing him because he's been like less than 5% owned. But I've been able to cash for them in cash games every time. All right, let's hop over to power forward. Anthony Davis, 10.9K. He's in a glorious spot against Minnesota because Towns is horrific defensively and Gorgui Dieng is sleeping. So, I can't do Anthony Davis in cash games because we all know he could be injured in any quarter, any minute, any moment. He could have a mosquito bite. I mean, God only knows. He could have a sliver, an eyelash. So, and Jokic is sitting $1,000 cheaper against the Knicks. So, I'm not going to do Anthony Davis in cash games, but is he an elite tournament play? Yes. And I just mentioned, look at all the small forwards I just mentioned. Ronnie Hollis Jefferson, Tucker, you got Ingram, you got Michael Beasley. You play those bums who could all smash value. It's not hard to get Anthony Davis in your lineup. I love Jokic, 9.9K. Watching him and Porzingis, I'm super excited to watch this game. One, because I'm going to stack the hell out of it, but also just watching Jokic and Porzingis will be fun. Remember, he's not cheap. So right now, I still don't even have him in cash games, although I do think he's okay for cash games on this slate. I think he's safe for all formats and clearly an elite tournament play as well. Draymond Green, he's got like a 10% usage rate. It's disgusting. I don't ever like playing him this year. Last year, he was great. Last year, he made me so much money. This year, it's like all the Golden State guys. I just don't want to play them. Whatever. Against Memphis, can you do it? I mean, if there's one guy for Golden State who probably playing down in pace doesn't hurt them, it would probably be Draymond. I mean, so because he's not going to score anyway. But you know, I don't need to play him. Paul Millsap, 7.8K. Tournaments only. The minutes are somewhat been an issue. Also, him and Howard don't mesh well together. His usage rate also sucks. Doesn't get the ball enough. Too many mouths to feed in Atlanta. You got Schroeder, you got Hardaway Jr., you got Bazemore, you got Howard. You got lots of guys who like to shoot. So Millsap's fine, but tournaments only. Porzingis is 6.8K against Denver. He finally hit 40 Fando points last game, and that only 27 minutes against the Clippers. He's in an elite spot here now against Denver. So, I love it. I love it for all formats. I mean, he's going to get us. He's going to have a monster day soon. I mean, the problem for Denver, the Knicks, right, is we can't play everyone from this game. So you're gonna have to make choices. You're gonna have to prioritize. Because I think as we've done this, gone through the show, I basically liked every one of the guys. But I do think Porzingis is in a phenomenal spot, and he's too cheap. So if there's guys that I would love to play for Denver Knicks, it's going to be the guys who are underpriced, and Porzingis is one of those guys. James Johnson, 6K against Brooklyn. Yeah, he's fine. He gets the usage bump without Deion Waiters. I don't feel the need to do it in cash games, but you know, if you want to just keep attacking Brooklyn, I get it. If you want pancakes and waffles and gravy, you play Julius Randle, 5.7K. He had 30 minutes last game. That's the best thing I can say about him. You can play him in a tournament and hope that he goes off, because it's possible. Just haven't seen it in the last, what, month? Let's see. Then we got Gorgui Dieng, tournaments only. I don't trust that. David Lee, hell no. Taj Gibson, he intrigues me at 5K. Sees a little bit of a bump if Wade's out. The minutes have been not great. He still struggles to get 30 minutes, but he's cheap enough where, you know, if you need to do it in cash, I think against Phoenix, it's probably okay. John Luehr, I mean, if there's a Detroit guy that I'll use besides Reggie Jackson, it probably would be John Luehr. Jamichael Green, 4.6K against Golden State. Man, he's safe. He made me a lot of money against Minnesota last week. You know, I expect him to get close to 30 minutes and fumble into around 20 to 30 Fanduel points. And now he plays way up in pace against Golden State. So to me, that's safe for all formats. It's not sexy, but it's fine. Then you got some tournament guys. You can take a flyer on Marquise Chris, another guy like TJ Warren, coming off of a couple of bad games. Willie Cauley-Stein, probably with Cousins back, probably can't play him. Wow, that's about it. All right, center. So you got Cousins, 11.2K, going up against Dwight. Dwight's still pretty good defensively. I haven't attacked Dwight much this year. It hasn't been a big strategy of mine. So I don't think it's an elite spot for him. It's just elite because Cousins is that good. He's also finally rested. I mean, Sacramento, I feel like they played a ton of road games in a row. They had a huge long road, six, seven straight games on the road. Then they came back and played Phoenix, Golden State, the Chicago, three games in four nights. So he should be rested and always in play, but not cash games for me on this slate. Towns, 10.7K. So, I mean, you can destroy the hell out of the Pelicans guards. That's true with Pelicans guards, but also they're big men. They can't rebound. They're one of the worst teams in rebounding. It's one reason why they're trying to trade for a center. So Towns, to me, is probably a little bit safer than – if I had to choose between Towns and Cousins for cash games, I would probably go Towns for cash, and Cousins would be more of a tournament guy for me on this slate. Although Towns is still – he's been great, but he's been expensive. Whiteside's playing Brooklyn. So, I mean, Brooke Lopez will not be able to box him out. He should be able to get 20 rebounds at will. So it's tough to trust him, but he's in a good spot. Drummond, yeah, this will be a day I will not play a lot of Drummond against the Spurs. Gasol gets Golden State. The one thing I do love about Memphis, because they're one of the few teams who go big against Golden State. So they're not going to run scared and bench Gasol, their best player. So he's going to get a ton of minutes playing against an undersized team. Last time he played Golden State, he had 41 minutes. It was weird because he only had 5 rebounds. He only had 35 Fando points. So it wasn't a great night, but he's in a good spot here. I think he's super safe. I think his floor is like 35, and he's got a big ceiling on this for this game, 50, 55 Fando points. I like that play. Brooke Lopez, fine, whatever. Dwight Howard at 7K. I mean, you know, his price just stays the same, and he continues to produce at a somewhat mediocre rate. So I don't love it. I don't hate it. Will I use a lot of him? No. Martin Gortat, man, his price is now 7K. Whatever. To me, he's too expensive now. And I'd prefer to go a different route on this slate. But if you want to use him and Wall, that's fine. It's a fine combo to use. I do like having one line of a Wall and Gortat. Miles Turner, 6.4K. So I love the price here. He's got massive upside. He hasn't hit it lately. He will be under 5% owned. He's one of the guys. I track ownership like it's a religion. You're going to get him at under 5% ownership on this slate. So I will play him for that reason. Because remember, when I'm playing tournaments, it's to win them. And could he give me 40, 50 Fando points against Gortat? Yes, he could take Gortat on the perimeter. He can dance circles around him. He's too athletic. He's too quick. I think it's a really good spot for him. Now, he's still young, and he's at Magic Mountain. So is it safe? No. But tournaments, yes. Hernan Gomez, man, he's getting expensive. He's 5.9K, so I don't love that price at all. Because he's probably getting around 20 to 24 minutes. But because it's Denver, they're playing up in pace. You can do it on this slate. Do you have to do it? No. Do I love it? I don't love it at that price anymore. Greg Monroe, I think all four centers for the Bucks are going to be ready to play. Monroe, Henson, and then now you got the two stiff statues, Hibbert and Hawes. One statue that stands by the 3-point line, one statue that stands right under the hoop. So God only knows what kids are going to do. They're playing the Lakers, so you can do it as a tournament dart if you want. Then you got guys like Robin Lopez. They were there, 5K. Lopez and Gibson are the same. You know, if you want to be contrarian, play Lopez and Gibson in the same lineup because no one else will. And hope they just get some minutes. They are playing way up in pace against Phoenix. It's okay. He should somehow get you 20 to 25 Fando points. Tarik Black for the Lakers. He's still starting and he gets 20 minutes or so. So if you want to punt center, you can do it with him. I don't love that play though. I do like attacking Bucks bigs though. Speaking of attacking Bucks bigs, Zubac, he got 22 minutes last game. So I think they benched Mozgov, didn't play Mozgov a minute. So if that's going to happen again, maybe take a flyer on Zubac in a tournament. And that's about it. All right, we made it through. 6:19 in the freaking morning. I mean, man, what the judge does for you guys. Oh, my God. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this day at the office. But more importantly, we made it through the show. I hope it was glorious. I hope it made sense. If you have any questions, feel free to tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. Otherwise, hope you made money on Thursday. I hope you achieved the ultimate glory on Friday. For me and the bailiff, court is adjourned.